Matthew chapter 6. Let's turn there today. And on Mother's Day, what am I preaching on? Giving. Hey! That's just where we landed in the series, by the way. Those of you visiting with us today, I know on Mother's Day we have a lot of guests. Mother's Day, by the way, is the third most attended day of the year, church attendance-wise. And so you got Easter, you got Christmas, you got Mother's Day. So thank you to all the moms here today and grandmoms who said, bless God, you're going to church with me whether you like it or not. So I love it, and I'm grateful, by the way, all kidding aside, for your witness and for your influence in your kids and your grandkids. So thank you so much for being here. And today, this is where we land in our series. We're walking through the Sermon on the Mount. We're in verses 19 through 24 of Matthew chapter 6. And so we're talking about giving today. Before we dive into the topic of giving, you know, on Mother's Day, you got to talk about the mom-isms, right? There's a lot of mom-isms. And so I want to share just a few. And if these ring true, like if you've heard these mom-isms, you can help me finish them, okay? So here we go. Some mom-isms. Don't mom me. Have you heard that? You heard that one before? Don't mom me. Well, I thought that was your name, right? That kind of leaves kids in a little bit of a quandary. But don't mom me, young man, typically is what's said in our house, right? If you can stay up late on Saturday night, you can get your tail out of the bed on Sunday morning. You can go to church, right? That is a momism. If you can't say something nice, then don't say anything at all. Just keep your mouth closed. Oh, we're working on that in our house. Listen, oh, how much less trouble my sons would be in if they would just not say anything, right? Don't look at me like that. I guess your children are more spiritual than mine, right? You know, I did the same thing when I was a young man, sadly. We all worked through that. Why? Here's a momism. Because I said so. That's why. That's all the justification or explanation that you need. I said so. That's why. Don't get smart with me, young man. Wait a minute. I thought I was supposed to be smart. Like, aren't I supposed to, like, work on my schoolwork and my grades? What do we mean by being smart? Well, we all know what that means, right? There's an attitude with that. So don't get smart with me, young man. If I had a dollar for every time I told you that, I'd be a millionaire, right? I'd be a millionaire, right? Here's another one. Fair. Newsflash. Life isn't fair, so get over it, right? Life is not fair. I don't care what everyone else is doing. I'm not everyone else's mama. I'm not everyone else's mom, right? So you my child, right? Here's a really good one. You are getting on my last. Where's your last nerve? Come on, moms. Like, where is that in the body? Where's the first one? Where's the last one? Like, where that, you know, that's an interesting one. Every mom has a last nerve somewhere in their body, right? You are getting on my last nerve. I brought you into this world. Now, that's interesting. We know that one so well. And I can take you out. That's a little vindictive, right? A little violent. But necessary from time to time. Come on, moms. It's necessary. All right. And the last one, probably the most famous. Stop that crying or what? I'm going to give you something to cry about. By the way, we need a little more like giving people something to cry about in this culture, right? So, kiddos especially, right? How many of you got paddled when you were in middle school and high school? Own it today. Just going to own it. Got the paddling. Yeah, all right. I'm not going to get on that today. It's Mother's Day. We're going to be nice. So, mom-isms. It's interesting in the Sermon on the Mount, there are a whole bunch of Jesus-isms, aren't they? Some of those statements that Jesus is most known for, we find in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 6, we have a few of those here in verses 19 through 24 this morning. Don't store up treasure on earth, but store up treasure where? In heaven. Where neither moth nor rust destroy, and we're going to read all that today, you know, and thieves can't break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There's another Jesus-ism, if you will, a statement that we think of when we think of Christ. No one can serve two masters, right? You cannot serve God and money or mammon or wealth, you know, depending on the translation that you have. Another Jesus-ism. And the Sermon on the Mount is full of them. And so today we're going to talk about giving. And again, that's not intentional on Mother's Day because we've got a big crowd. Those of you who've been with us in the series, you know this is just where we land in the series. But today we're going to talk about giving. Giving is one of the most controversial topics in the church because so often the church gets accused of being all about money. And when you look at some of the TV preachers and some of the most well-known people that we see, you know, on the internet, the televangelists and all these things, well, you can see the excess there, right? I mean, we see that and we own that, the whole health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. But friends, listen to me. You need to know today that that the church is the one place, the local church is the one place that is not about money, actually. This is the one place that you can come into, come on, Living Hope Faithful, and you can be loved whether you give or not. Come on now. And you will be loved and accepted, right? Come on, church. This is the way it should be. And Jesus is going to talk about this today. But this is the one place you'll be loved and accepted whether you're rich or you're poor, right? Whether you're a doctor or a lawyer or whether you're the custodian or you know, at the school system. We thank God for everybody, and everybody has value, and everybody's important to God. And that's the way it should be in the church. And so, by the way, you go enjoy that. How many of you going to lunch today? Come on. Yeah, okay. So when you go out to lunch today, try walking out of there without paying your bill. Tell me how that goes. Come on now. Church is the one. Hello. Come on, let's just get real today. Come on, man. Church is the one place you can come into. I ain't handing you a bill on the way out the door today. Right? Giving is totally free will. It's totally out of your desire, cheerful heart, if you desire to give today and want to obey God in that. Then give, okay? But even those who don't give today, God loves you. We love you. We're glad you're here. And it reminds me of the story of there was a church and the pastor was preaching on giving one Sunday morning and one of the men pulled up in the parking lot, got out with his family walking into church, and one of his friends was coming out the door in his underwear. Nothing but his underwear. And he said, Frank, dear God in heaven, what in the world happened to you in church today? He said, I don't know, but that's the best sermon on giving I've ever heard. The goal today is not to take the shirt off your back, okay? That is not the intent. That's not Jesus' intent. By the way, did you realize he talked more about money than he did heaven and hell combined? He talked about money a lot. Why? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Giving. Where your treasure is, I shared this with our staff this morning, our prayer team. Let me give you another way to say this, and listen closely. Because we're going to talk about giving today. We're going to talk about the good eye, this kind of weird like idea for us in Western culture. What's this good eye thing in giving, and how does that all go together? So we're going to talk about that today, and at the end of the message today, I'm going to invite you to give. I'm going to invite you to obey God in this and just give and just trust Him. Some of you here today need to give your life to Jesus. Money's not going to get you into heaven. It's only through faith in Christ that we're made right with God. But I'm going to invite you to give today. Another way to say where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Another way to say that is this. Think about this. Giving will change your life. Giving will change your life. The miser is not wiser. The stingy person is most often not the joyful person. There is incredible joy that it will fill your soul when you begin to see your money and your time and service to others help others and meet a need in their life and transform their situation or circumstance. Giving, listen to me, if you want a different life today, come to Jesus. But then also I would add to that, children of God, if you're not a giver, give today. It will completely change your outlook on life. It will completely change the joy in your heart. It will bring peace when it's done all in the name of Jesus. And to give Him glory, build His kingdom, and help others in need, it will bring incredible joy into your life. That's what Jesus is saying here. That's the principle. It's not about the church needing your money. It's really not. Yes, we have ministry. Yes, we have vision. Yes, we have things we want to do to reach others for Christ. But it's not about the church needing your money. Giving will transform your heart, your life, if you'll do it. Okay? Matthew 6. Let's read together, starting in verse number 19. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, the eye, this, you know, obscure idea. What is this? The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy or is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? By the way, being a miser, being stingy, being self-centered will lead to incredible darkness in your life. It's another principle we see here. When I live closed-handed and closed-fisted before others and before this world, it will lead to incredible darkness in my life. But when I live open-handed, oh, the light, the joy, the peace of God, the hope that fills your soul. And so that's the idea. If the eye's bad, whole body be full of darkness. Man, how deep is that darkness? Now, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. In this passage, Jesus talks to us about storing up treasure in heaven, the good eye. He's talking about giving here. And keep in mind, church, this is convicting. This might have been the most convicting piece for me this week in prep. He's talking about the excess of the Pharisees here. Keep that in mind. In chapter 5, he says that, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you're not going to be in the kingdom of God. And the Pharisees, just a reminder, Pharisees were Jewish religious leaders. And so they're leading the charge in Judaism. On the outside, obeying the surface commands. But on the inside, we're full of dead men's bones, Jesus said. No love, no grace, no mercy, no generosity or hospitality are truly in their heart. Although they did tithe and they did meet the obligation, it wasn't out of a heart of love. And so he's addressing the Pharisees here. The Pharisees wanted the seat of honor at the banquet. They were all about wealth and political power and influence. They wore the nicest clothing, ate the choicest food, which is interesting. He's going to get into that in next week's passage, Lord willing. Don't be anxious about what you'll eat or what you'll wear. Why? Because the Pharisees, that they were all about appearance, all about wealth, all about influence and notoriety. And by the way, church, listen, for Christians, here's the convicting part. If you go back and you study, we pick on the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which the Sadducees were liberals. They weren't true Hebrews. They had bribed their way into positions of leadership, okay? Jesus had 3 years with the Pharisees, they didn't kill him. 1 week with the Sadducees and they crucified him, okay? But the Pharisees, they didn't start as these wealth-driven, influence-driven, political-driven people. If you study Hebrew schooling, these were the most devoted kids to the Scriptures when they were growing up, or they wouldn't have become Pharisees. They drifted into this. They were the most devoted yet to the Word, yet by the end of their training were the most devoted to the world, desiring the things of the world. And listen to me. Your mind can be full of the Word of God, and it never get to your heart. Am I submitted to Jesus? That's why giving and generosity and hospitality is such a big deal, because they treated people of different races, nationalities, differently. They treated poor people differently than they did rich people. People that were on a different political, y'all okay today? On a different political side than them, they treated differently. I mean, they had this spirit of partiality, as James talks about in his letter. And so that's what Jesus is combating here. And the good eye, now you're not talking about baseball, right? The good eye, when you watch a ball go by, and man, it's a ball, not a strike, man, you got a good eye, right? Well, he's not talking about baseball. What is he talking about here? The good eye and the bad eye, this was actually a rabbinical thought, a rabbinical idea, that they taught people to have a good eye. It's a Hebrew idiom for how you view people. The attitude that you have towards others. And so the good eye sees the need of others and the value of others and gives, is generous and hospitable. The bad eye sees the world in a judgmental way. Isn't that interesting? Chapter 7, he's going to say, do not judge, lest you be judged. The bad eye sees the world with a, come on, Christians. Come on. Come on, conservatives, come on. Y'all all right? Let's just lean into all the things today. Come on now. Right? Sees the world with this critical, judgmental eye. Right? And is not generous or hospitable or kind, even in points of disagreement. And so he's calling us here to this place of a good eye. In fact, the word healthy here, or good, maybe in a translation you have, the word healthy in the Christian Standard Bible, by the way, y'all probably figured out Pastor Derek's change to the CSB, right? And we're preaching from that now. But the word there in the Greek is the word haplos. It literally means generous. That's the literal meaning of the word here. So generosity. So it begs a question, right? So this good eye, we are to have a good eye, a Jesus kind of perspective on the world. So how should we view the world? Let me give you some thoughts here. First of all, every person is made in the image of God. Every person, whether black or white, Hispanic or Asian, whether gay or straight, come on now, whether Democrat or Republican, whether rich or poor, God does not measure us by that stuff. He looks at the heart, what's true of our heart. And so every person, if we're going to have the good eye, we have to remember every person is made in the image of God. Every soul is important to God. And he died for every single individual. Secondly, consider every circumstance is an opportunity to glorify God also. That's how we should view the world. And I know it's not easy, right? When we're in the midst of incredible difficulty, it's hard to see sickness and, sickness in your home, or the death of a loved one, or, losing a job, or this issue with a neighbor, or contention in relationships. It's hard to see how God can get glory in some of those difficult situations. But the good eye, the eye of faith and a kingdom perspective, says every circumstance, God can get glory in this. There's opportunity here. Okay? But then thirdly, also, every place, come on, military folks that have to move all the time, right? Every place, come on now, is under the reign of God. You ever said this before? Boy, this is a God-forsaken place. You ever said that? Hey, I've got good news today. Listen, this is good. There are no God-forsaken places. There are no God-forsaken places. The psalmist said, didn't David say, wherever I am, you're there. Your presence is there. Wherever God places you, he is there with you. And so that's how we have to view the world, man. Every place is under the reign of God. So we have to see the world as Jesus does. And only the Spirit of God, as we surrender to the Spirit of God, God, fill me with your Spirit. Only the Spirit of God can help us to see the world that way. So with that said, how should we relate to the world then? How should we relate to the world? Three ways. You ready? Generosity, hospitality, and service. That's what this Hebrew idea of the good eye means. In fact, in Hebrew life, generosity and hospitality are intertwined with one another. In other words, in Hebrew life, what they would teach is don't just give a meal to someone in need, enjoy a meal with someone in need. Care enough about that person to sit down with them and have a conversation while giving them money or doing something to help meet a need in their life. It's hospitality and generosity mixed together. God taught, if you look back through the Old Testament, we miss all the grace sometimes in the Old Testament. The Bible is about grace from cover to cover, by the way. The law of God is simply God inviting us into His grace and into His best, by the way, that we see in the Old Testament. And God told His people, I mean, think about this, radical generosity. He told farmers, don't harvest your field all the way to the edges, but leave the edges of your field for the poor, for the alien and the widow and the poor to come and to gather from that. And so it's a beautiful picture of how we should be willing to give, man, whatever we have to give to help someone else. Did you realize that every seventh year, the ground was to lay fallow? And not only that, every seventh year, if you loaned money, by the way, to someone, you were not to charge any interest. That's the antithesis of our culture. Come on now. You're not to charge any interest. By the way, that doesn't mean that in banking world or business world that it's necessarily wrong to charge interest. But in personal relationships, right, we shouldn't hold those things over others. And every seventh year, you were to completely forgive any debts that someone owed you. Just completely forgive it. Consider it done and God will provide for you. Every 50th year, that was referred to as the year of Jubilee in Hebrew life. And the year of Jubilee was, another year where they just would celebrate the goodness of God, the provision of God. But also every 50 years, if a farmer or an individual had to sell their land within that 50-year period, this is interesting, because they were in financial straits. In the year of Jubilee, that land was to go back to them or their posterity. Radical generosity and hospitality. We miss that with the law of God. If you want to talk about Western culture, the best way to describe it is with the word competition. Hebrew culture, and by the way, God's economy, cooperation. Is that the opposite of what we talk about in Western culture? It is, isn't it? Cooperation. That's the idea of the good eye here. And so that's how we store up treasure in heaven, is to give tangibly. It's not by intention. It's by action. That's how we receive the blessings of God today. Listen, it's like my grandmama growing up, whenever she would cook a big spread, she would cook three meals a day. My dad's mom, right? Ma and Pa. Whenever we go to Ma and Pa's house, she was up before the sun came up, and she cooked, a full meal three times a day, because she was feeding men that were in the field, right? And she wanted them to be well fed. And she would cook, and whenever she would cook, she'd lean out that door and say, "It's supper time, come and get it." And church, listen to me, the blessings of God today are before you. Come and get it. The blessings of God are before you. Just come and get it. How do you do that? Give. Give. Give to the church. Give to build the kingdom of God. Give to missions. Give to the poor. Give to help those in need. God may even be putting someone on your heart this morning that you know has a need, and you've been saying, well, that's what they get, making them bad decisions. By the way, aren't you glad that God doesn't judge us by our decision making? Let's keep going. So that leads to number one. How do you store up treasure in heaven? Let me give you four quick thoughts, four truths to apply to our life real quick. Number one, how do you gain the good eye, develop the good eye? How do you store up treasure in heaven? Okay? Number one, set your heart on Christ. Set your heart on Christ. Generosity is born out of a deep understanding, listen, church, of the gospel. of all that God has given me and all he's forgiven me of. The only way we're made right with God is through the precious blood of Jesus. And he didn't just give us physical, tangible blessings, although he is a good provider. He gave us salvation, the greatest blessing there ever was, by giving his own life. That's the only way that we're reconciled to God. Our sin separates us from God. We deserve his judgment. But Jesus, out of incredible love for us, went to the cross and shed his precious blood. We were not redeemed with material things such as silver and gold, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus, as Peter says in his letter, one of his letters. So, church, listen to me. Understand the gospel today. And by the way, if God has shown me this kind of unfathomable compassion in my mistakes, come on now, you know where I'm going with this. How under God's heaven can I not show the same compassion in other people's mistakes? God tells us just to give, just be generous, just be hospitable, just help the person in need. It's between them and God what they do with it. And yes, there are wise ways to do that, to give it and meet a need. But the point is, give it. Give it. Set your heart on Christ, number one, the gospel. Number two, set your mind on the word. Heart on Christ, on the gospel. Store up treasure in heaven. I've also got to set my mind on the word. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind. The world says you got to have that new car. The world says you got to have a much bigger house and a nicer place. The world says you got to have them new shoes. The world says you got to have all this stuff. You ought to be paid for what you've been through. You heard that one? You ought to be paid for what you've been through. I mean, that's the stuff the world says. The world says, oh, you cannot be satisfied. That's the whole point of marketing, isn't it? Consumerism is, oh, you are so dissatisfied without this. I mean, they don't say it like that, but that's how you market things. So that's what the world says. What does God's word say? Contentment is the path to joy. Generosity is the pathway to blessings. Hospitality, not division and all the junk we see in our world, disunity and anger and bitterness and revenge, there's no joy in that. Jesus says, no. Contentment is the pathway to blessing. Generosity, hospitality is the path to joy. And so don't let your mind be conformed to the world. By the way, your life will follow the direction of your thoughts. Your life, my life, our lives will follow the direction of our thoughts. Make sure we set our mind on the truth of God's word and what he says. Okay, number three, let's keep moving. Set your eye, so heart on the gospel, mind on the word. Number three, set your eye on the need. Talks about that here. Set your eyes on the needs. Look to meet those needs. That's what a good eye means. It's an eye that's looking to be generous, that's looking to be hospitable. So don't just set your eyes on the stock market. Come on now. Or on your bank account or your retirement balance or on your budget. Frugality in some people's lives is actually carnality. Some of the most materialistic people I have met are the most in love with some well-known names of people who put out financial principles. And I'm not going to name any names today, but you can probably figure one or two of them out. Some of the most materialistic people are those who have, come on, husbands and wives, who have constant contention over their budget. Tithing or not, it's materialism. Let it loose, man. Hey, how many of you know God wants to do some stuff outside your budget sometimes? Sometimes God wants to blow the budget up in a generous way, hospitable way, right? Not in a frivolous way. But sometimes God says, look, I want to do something here. Just trust me. I'm going to provide for you here. I want you to give this. I want you to help this person in need. I want you to give to this mission effort. You know, God will show you that. Just trust him. Set your eyes on the need. That's a good eye. And then fourthly and lastly, open your hand to give. Open your hand to give. And that's what I'm inviting you to do today. Open your hand and give. Why? Because we can do, church, listen to me, we can do incredibly more together than we ever can individually. Each one of us individually, God's calling us to help the poor, that family member or that, you know, a classmate of one of our kids or teammate or whoever that's in a financial need. God calls us individually to lean in and meet those needs. But church, listen to me, we can do incredible things together when you give also to your local church. This past year, did you realize we had the privilege to give over $250,000 to missions here? Over $250,000 to missions. This past year, guys, benevolence ministry is huge for us here. Some churches are like, we don't want to fool with that. We're like, man, bring them here. Whatever the need is, we want to lean in and we want to help folks and we want to love on people and meet a financial need, but also build a relationship, man. Okay? 165 families we helped last year, benevolence ministry. 165. That was three a week. I don't say that to boast. I say that to brag on God and on you, because that's the heart we have here. We want to help folks. 28 families we were able to give their first month's rent and their water and electricity deposits to relocate them after the tornado. 28 families. It's over $30,000 that you gave if you're a giver here. You did that. Okay? Thousands of groceries to hundreds of families working alongside Manna Cafe, one of our favorite mission partners here in town. And Yay Packs were coming alongside, especially during the tornado, and you were able to give thousands of dollars, by the way, to Yay Packs and come alongside and help give out supplies through that ministry as well. You're doing that. And so today, listen to me, giving will change your life. If you want joy and peace deep within your soul today, one major step toward that is to live open-handed. To stop living like this, I got to hold on to my stuff, I don't know if I'll have enough, and insecurity and fear and, you know, maybe some selfish mindset in that too, maybe some self-centeredness. Today, giving will transform your life, your marriage, your family. I promise you it will. Joy will fill your soul when you do it in the name of Jesus. And so I invite you today, if you've never given, give today for the first time. Give online. You can give in collection boxes in the back. Give. If you give sporadically, I'm asking you to give systematically today. Give consistently. Every time you get paid, give your tithe. Set up recurring giving online. Why do I tell you these things? The church does not need your money. God wants your heart. Giving will change your life. To know you're tangibly a part of all this life change. It will change your life. So give today. And then there are others of you here that today you need to give your life to Jesus. Jesus is not the Lord of your life. And so today he's inviting you to come and receive the free gift of salvation and begin this walk with him, this kingdom way of life. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. So glad you could join us. If you've given your heart to Jesus, text HOPE JESUS, all one word, text HOPE JESUS to 77411. HOPE JESUS, 77411. And let me encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. If you hadn't done that already, make sure to hit that subscribe button and share it out. You never know whose life might be changed by simply sharing this message today. So share it out, okay? And so thank you again for listening in, and we invite you to listen in with us next week.